good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Penny Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized and taxpayer name is Robert Pilot, hey, and we discuss on Native Roots Radio local and national events that have to do with us natives. It's a unique show. We start out with the news and we have a guest. And as you all know, native issues are human issues and human issues are native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
You know, it's really hot out, and and we took a walk this morning, and I needed to take a nap because it's so hot, but I didn't take a nap. And St. Paul Public Schools here in Minnesota have closed the schools the rest of the year. Just boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, there's a heat wave.
Yeah.
It's half,
no air conditioning.
No air conditioning. It's half distance learning. Half the kids aren't coming in anyway.
Yeah. It's a sad way to end it, for a lot of teachers. I know a friend of mine put a post up there, and as you all know, I'm retiring from teaching. I'm a teacher that's retiring from teaching. There we go. Hey, and after 26 years, and so it's kind of a double edged sword. But you did say like a lot of the students are distance learning, I haven't seen them in 2 years.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. This whole thing has been really hard. Been really tough.
Yeah. And so
my sister's a teacher also in Elmhurst, Queens, and she actually just went back to finish up the year, and it's hot there out east. Also, it's in the 90s today, and I just spoke to her earlier, and they have no air conditioning in their school either, so she's feeling like a wet rag.
Well, you know, and we know Ogama, who's up in the deep north where it's 10 degrees cooler, so she allows herself to have a small studio with no air conditioning and anything. So we're going to go to her before she melts and talk about the native news, because I know there's a lot of catching up to do, especially after yesterday's treaty. There's so much stuff that's going on.
Treaty people gathering.
Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Ogama, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Robert and Wendy. It is hot in my tiny little studio with no air conditioning. I just want to let people who are on the radio know that I've got a nice cool towel here I keep dabbing myself with if you're watching us live. I promise I'm going to be okay. I've been through Lodge, but this certainly is coming close to that feeling this week. And I want to offer my prayers up to those who are protecting water in northern Minnesota who were gathered this weekend at the Treaty People Gathering, because they have been out in this sweltering heat in northern Minnesota now since many of them for the last year, but definitely the larger part of the 2,000 plus people that gathered were out in it for over the weekend. So I'm going to take some pieces here from the latest press release from the Treaty People Gathering. This is the final press release that's going to wrap up communications about the Treaty People Gathering as an event. There is more underway, and the movement is really gaining a lot of momentum. So there's going to be more information on this, but this is the final press release. So key updates are that there are 200 plus arrests, and that there was an ongoing blockade at a pumping station, as well as a concurrent event launched at the Mississippi River crossing of the Line 3 pipeline. So on Monday, more than 2,000 water protectors gathered for the largest ever mobilization against the Line 3 tar sands pipeline. And the idea is to put more pressure on the Biden administration to honor the treaties and stop this project. Over 500 water protectors shut down the Two Inlets pumping station in northern Minnesota in solidarity with GNU Collective, and they were able to shut it down for over 29 hours. beginning Monday morning. Construction on the pipeline began in December, where 200 people had been arrested in one day, and that has number has now doubled with nearly 200 more arrests and dozens more cited. So we're looking at over 400 people that have been arrested and more that have been cited. What happened for them to shut down the pumping stations that 24 water protectors locked themselves to machinery inside the pumping station, and they were eventually removed and arrested. Meanwhile, another group of 24 attached themselves to a boat that blockaded the access road overnight, and arrests were still happening as of this afternoon. Police escalated tactics at the blockade of the pump station. Initially, law enforcement just attempted to disrupt water protectors, and the Department of Homeland Security helicopter was flying at an unlawfully low height and kicking up dust and rocks into people's faces. Police and later ended up deploying a long-range acoustic device, which is commonly known as an LRAD, without warning. My understanding is that these devices cause nausea and vertigo and other things like that to really disrupt people. At the same time, on Monday, 1,500 people marched to the spot where the Line 3 pipeline is scheduled to drill underneath the Mississippi and launched an ongoing treaty encampment in the path of the pipeline, with 200 people camping overnight, and that is read by the Rise Coalition. We did post a link to that site, and that location is asking for supplies. They need drinking water, camping supplies, those types of things. So there is a link to that location on Native Roots Radio's Facebook page, so keep an eye out on that. Jane Fonda was present, Catherine Keener, Rosanna Arquette, Taylor Schilling, and Bill McKibben were all present at that event. Right now, they're calling for people who want to come stand with the water to come join them. And it's going to be a really, really intense and hot summer. In other news on Line 3, just before this event got underway, the Treaty People Gathering, on Friday, the Minnesota DNR approved an amendment to Enbridge's groundwater appropriation permits, and this is coming from the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. But basically what that means is that Enbridge is now being allowed to appropriate significantly more water along the route for temporary trench dewatering during the construction. Their original permit allowed them to use 510.5 million gallons of water, and they are now allowed to use 4,983 million gallons of water out of north central Minnesota. Meanwhile, the state is experiencing abnormally dry conditions. 73.2% of Minnesota is experiencing abnormally dry conditions. That means fire dangers are really high. There is low soil moisture, which means pastures are stressed, and lakes and riverbeds levels are declining with the water temperature rising at the same time. The Environmental Protection Agency says that higher temperatures and harm water quality in Minnesota's lakes and rivers and tends to cause more algal blooms, which are harmful to fish and really degrade water quality. And as you all know, if you are a human and you're living in the United States right now, we are in the middle of record highs throughout the entire country. Forbes reported that their temperatures are expected to remain dangerously elevated in the Northeast and upper Midwest. And the U.S. National Weather Service issued heat advisories on Monday, which impacted nearly 20 million people. In Minneapolis, the forecast reached 96 degrees on Monday, and the city is on track to experience its longest heat wave since 1949. A record high of 99 was recorded at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport over the weekend as well, which beat the old record by 7 degrees, according to the National Weather Service. So climate change is definitely happening, everybody, and Enbridge's Line 3 is going to contribute to that and possibly push water levels even lower in northern Minnesota. So we'll have more updates as we go along. If you have any questions or want to find out more information, make sure to go to stopline3.org for more information.
Wow, Pina Gigi, there was a lot right there. Ogama, thank you so much. Hey, we're going to talk to Lewis Eagle Thunder up next, and we're going to talk treaties. And our man, our TikTok native man, has got a lot of information. Stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Getting vaccinated is the most powerful tool to keep ourselves and loved ones healthy and to end this pandemic. Get your vaccine and get back to what matters most to you. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID vaccine. Again, that website to schedule your free COVID-19 vaccine is ramseycounty.us/COVID vaccine.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back.
I love it. You got Jane Fonda saying it. That's so cool. Yeah, I love it.
That is awesome. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Wow, good one, Wen. Hey, so like every Tuesday, we have Nancy Bolio from Arise Coalition mm-hmm. and Bemidji 350 and all the other stuff she does every Tuesday for 6 months now, mm-hmm. and she is in a tent protecting Mother Earth and stopping Line 3 and mm-hmm. dealing with treaties.
With no internet, so that's why she's not on today.
Well, and she's getting interviewed all over the country, too.
Wow.
So I
good
guess
for
we,
her.
Well, you know, we've been put into second tier
the
media.
Second place. Yeah.
But, you know, what we've really found, I shouldn't say we found, but we asked an influencer on TikTok, Native, to come aboard, mm-hmm. And he's very flexible. Lewis is very flexible, and we know he knows a lot about a lot of stuff. And so we've asked him to come on for Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, to speak treaties and maybe talk a little about the Stain Act and things like that. So welcome, brother. Thank you, Pinigigi, so much for being on today and stepping in there with us.
Hey, guys, nice to see everybody here. You know, I can't do the splits. I'm not that flexible, but I can talk treaty rights. But yeah, you know, it's been crazy, Robert, you know, with what's going on with Line 3. But another bit of news I wanted to say before anything is the Supreme Court ruled, made a big ruling last week. I don't know if everyone heard. It was Cooley versus the Crow Nation or what we call a Supreme Court. The Ninth Circuit literally ruled in favor of this guy named James Cooley, who was on the Crow Reservation, was found with methamphetamine and drugs. The Crow Reservation police, tribal police, stopped him, and they literally couldn't do anything. So you think about Native American justice in 2021, right? Indigenous justice. Our tribal police, with a car packed full of methamphetamines, if this Supreme Court ruling didn't take place, that person literally would be set free on our reservations, allowed to do what they want. But the Supreme Court unanimously ruled last week that tribal police have the inherent right to apprehend and hold non-Indians on reservation land, allowing them to cooperate with state and federal authorities in order for these people to be apprehended and arrested for distribution of methamphetamine, drugs, guns, and all these other things that have, you know, basically been on these reservations brought in by non-Indians traditionally. And now we have the federal authority, because the Supreme Court took it up, and now we can literally prosecute these people, and these tribal police have the authority to at least hold these people until state and local authorities come in. That doesn't mean that complete justice is going to take place. It doesn't mean, you know, this is a complete autonomy and repatriation, but it's a step towards in the right direction.
It seems to me that it's a real waste of time of the Supreme Court's time and energy to have to look at something that is so blatantly obvious. So that's all I have to say about that.
Wow. Good one, Wendy. Yeah. Wow. Hey, I just got to throw this out before you get with your other report, too, Lewis, is that the passing of a great spiritual chief, and we talked a little bit about it. I wanted to hear your thoughts about Leonard Crow Dog, who passed away this past few days.
You know, in this era of a lot of reconnecting indigenous people that I see on TikTok, because I'm a TikTok guy, right, and social media guy, a lot of people yearn for a connection with their ancestors and their relatives. And people like Leonard Crow Dog and a lot of our leaders like that are from an era that holds so much richness in our tradition, our history, our storyteller, you know, our storytelling, that when they die, an entire library burns with it. So yes, we lose that connection. And Leonard Crow Dog was such an integral part of the Sichangu Lakota Oyate, the Rosebud Sioux people, where that's my actual nation. And yes, he was an integral part of reconnecting these young ones, especially with a lot of issues we have with, you know, grandparents raising their kids and all this other stuff, on being that leader and that elder that people could go to and say, hey, how do I practice my medicine? Not only that, you know, he was a thing of legend with the American Indian movement and, you know, Dennis Banks, Russell Means, and being that spiritual advisor that we needed at that time. None of us can achieve the amount of things that Leonard Crow Dog did, but he was such an amazing spiritual chief and leader for our community. It's such a huge loss, and we grieve, but we also celebrate that he is in the stars with our ancestors right now and hopefully guiding us going forward.
Oh, good words, good words. I had an opportunity to meet him with Clyde Clyde Belcourt a couple of years ago at Wounded Knee, and just the aura and the respect that all our brothers and sisters had for him. And he was a great, even up until then, he was a great storyteller and had meaning to everything he said.
Absolutely. You know, and like I said before many times, that, you know, the idea of storytelling is a nuance that has been lost because we think that a textbook could teach us our history. But storytelling is something us indigenous people held sacred, because it didn't only tell us a story. It spoke of identity and culture, all intrinsically wrapped into that storytelling culture that we had.
Wow, no doubt. Hey, so can you, in the next 5 minutes, talk a little bit about treaties and the supreme law of this country and how it's affecting and not affecting us? Because we're fighting treaties up here in northern Minnesota. And I was talking to somebody and he was saying that's a brilliant way to go after what's happening with this raping of Mother Earth with Fort Lyon 3.
You know, treaties are, you know, one of these things that I think a lot of non-natives really can't get their head around. When we talk about treaties, it seems to put us in antiquity a lot of times, because that's exactly where colonization has left us. But treaties are living, breathing pieces of legislation that are currently living right now in the Constitution. Article 6, Clause 2, or what they call Section 2 of the Constitution, states that treaties are the supreme law of the land. So everyone out there that's listening, if you have a gun-toting uncle that loves that Second Amendment, that loves to, you know, hey, you know, I love my treaty rights, I have my Constitution in my back pocket, say, well, you're a big fan of Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution that says treaties are the supreme law of the land. So you must be an ally to indigenous people, because that's exactly where we sit at with our treaty rights. I mean, you look at, you know, the 1867 Fort Laramie Treaty that has been completely violated, and it exactly like the 1837 treaty with the Anishinaabe, what they call the Chippewa people, right? Yeah. And, you know, 1855 ceded land, but also it didn't cede territories for hunting and fishing in line three. And literally, you know, it's funny that indigenous people, we had to do it as Lakota people in 1980 versus the United States in the Supreme Court. And they ruled in favor of us getting $1 billion that we didn't take because the Black Hills are not for sale, right? And this is what the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe did with the Minnesota in 1999, brought it to the Supreme Court, and they reaffirmed that those hunting and fishing and gathering rights apply to the 1855 treaty, which means that we have a say in exactly what's going on with Line 3 because it is obligated to us by treaty law. And this is something that people just can't get their heads around.
Wow, thank you so much. You know, I saw Ogama giving you the high five fist up, and Wendy and I are just shaking our heads going, yep, this is it, Lewis. We're here with Lewis Eagle Thunder, and we got a couple minutes left, and I'd really like you to talk a little bit about the STAIN Act and how we can help and what you're really working on here. And also, too, that Lakota guy, can you give your TikTok name, too?
Yeah, it's for those listening, it's at the little at symbol, Lakota guy. It's just L-A-K-O-T-A guy. Really simple, straightforward. But, you know, I've really been pushing this legislation that was introduced on the Senate floor. And I think it was April 13th. It was read twice on the Senate floor, and it was introduced by Senator Warren Merkley, as well as other co-sponsors. And what it is that in 1890, the United States committed a huge atrocity called the Wounded Knee Massacre, for those that may not know, our new listeners or maybe people not familiar. And this literally was the genocide of over 300 unarmed, fleeing Lakota women, children, and elderly. And it all started with a person trying to take a gun away from someone that was deaf, and a gun went off somewhere, and they just literally started shooting at us. They had four Hotchkiss guns pointed at them with these huge barrels. I mean, and then they put them all in mass graves. And this is an atrocity that the United States decided. They decided to honor these murderers by giving them 20 Medals of Honor awards. And as we know, Medal of Honors are the highest award for valor in the theater of combat. And what we want to do is that we know we can't change the past, right? As indigenous people, what we do is that we want to repatriate what happened, and we want to acknowledge the pain that would happen and have us on the Senate floor and have our issues relevant on the Senate floor. So I'm asking people to write to your senator and have them talk to their colleagues, and because right now it's in the Senate Armed Services Committee for discussion. We need it to come out of that committee, and we need it for a general vote on the Senate floor to remove the STAIN Act from that is sponsored by Senator Warren out of Massachusetts. It's very important to do so because it uplifts our voices, something that we really don't have in mainstream media.
Wow. You are so awesome to come on such last minute. Your information is so valid, and thank you so much, Lewis. Thank you so much, Pina Gigi. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hello, Minnesota. This is Tom Hartman, and you can catch me every weekday from 11 to 2 right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's smart radio for smart people.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Getting vaccinated is the most powerful tool to keep ourselves and loved ones healthy and to end this pandemic. Get your vaccine and get back to what matters most to you. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. Again, that website to schedule your free COVID-19 vaccine is ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Clear and warm overnight tonight with a low of 74, then more sun and more heat on Wednesday with a high of 94. Hazel's Northeast offers some of the most creative comfort food you'll find, located at 29th Avenue and Johnson Street in Minneapolis, minutes from 35W and from Central Avenue. Make your reservation at hazelsnetogo.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow, Wendy, Lewis is just awesome, isn't he?
He's totally awesome. awesome.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, hey, you know what's fun about being on Facebook and being interactive and all that is that, you know, we have people kind of chime in and say things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we had somebody that we have on the line right now that said that that she had just left the camp up there. So we want to grab her on. Mm-hmm. Her name's Grace Roberts. And Grace, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Bonjour, Robert, Wendy, and Ogamog News. Thank you so much for inviting me on to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on this last minute here. Can you tell us a little bit what we're trying to be minute by minute what's happening up in the deep occupied north? And could you let our audience know a little bit what's happening right now?
Right now, so today was actually my first day going out there. And, you know, if I had known about the dates earlier, like, because I was on the planning committee, but kind of got dropped off. You know, people tend to get really busy, and there were so many organizations involved in the planning that somehow I just got out of the loop. So I hurried up and got there when I could, and today, you know, I went out to Pure Bliss Ranch and was trying to meet up with Dawn, and so that didn't quite work out, but I was walking around, checking in with people, seeing how everything was going, getting updates, and so there's a lot of people that were still at Pure Bliss Ranch that were just heading out, so a lot of people from out of state, from Vermont to Oregon, and I can't remember the other place, but so I was out there talking with some of those people before they left and then started making my way out to the line and was able to meet up with Nancy Bolio, my sister, and was pretty much just trying to see where they needed my help and assistance because I know they were so exhausted. It was such an intense weekend, very high volume, and today there was probably about less than 100 people, I would say. More or less 100 people still left out there on the line, and they were doing pretty good on supplies. They were just going through some of the supplies that they needed. I heard you guys list off the supplies. That's still valid, and then they were going into start planning to build the camp there and to have it more permanent so that we can, you know, prevent them from doing the drilling there underneath the Mississippi where it's really small and the water is really low. It's crazy how low it is right now, and everybody's just kind of beat and trying to keep cool. Everyone's, you know, getting super heated, and so I really feel for them being out in the storm last night, because the storm last night was super intense as well. People barely got any sleep. They were having to hold down their tent.
Jeez.
Yeah. So they're also in the process of getting the ceremony going, because once the ceremony gets started and it go on for at least 4 days, then start establishing the name of the camp and making it more permanent there, out there on the line for easement by Coffee Pot Landing.
Yeah, you know, that's crazy. And the storm last night, I just thinking that it's so dangerous. We always hear of campers out somewhere and there's a storm and then trees are falling on their, you know, tents and they're getting injured. So I'm glad that you don't have any reports of any injuries. So that's important and glad to hear that.
Yeah, as far as I know, there's no injuries, but yeah, it was pretty intense. I didn't even get a chance to see Dawn out there today. So she's, you know, probably making sure that her household is good before she makes it back out there. And Nancy, she took a break and needed to cool off, and they started getting on planning for the ceremony. And so that's in the works, and that makes me feel good, you know, because there's some of our people here from Whiters that are part of it. There's some Lakota and other camp people that are there to assist. One of our elders, Leonard Thompson, just showed up to participate in that planning as well. So very happy that things are moving forward and starting to develop more so we can have more resistance there on the line.
Grace, Ogama has a quick question for you.
Yeah, hi, Grace. McGwich for coming on. I just wanted to say, too, that I was aware that there was a lot of press out there, and I think there was a lot of Nancy and Dawn talking to press today. You know, just to kind of throw this out there, you know, there was Washington Post, Associated Press, New York Times, MSNBC, and PBS NewsHour have all already done stories on this issue. So I'm sure there's been a lot of people running around trying to get scheduled to talk to somebody about this issue. Kind of like us, we were in that boat today too, trying to reach Nancy, and there's not a lot of signal down there either. So, and again, McGwich, for coming on and talking about this, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're a big time.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah, I'm actually from Niji Radio, but I've been involved with the land and water advocacy, the resistance on the Sandpiper in Line 3, along with many other White Earth enrollees here. They've really been an inspiration for me. Like, ever since I had learned about just the passion and the values that they live by here in White Earth and how they, you know, they live it. They don't just talk about it, they live it. You know, they're out there on those front lines doing it, and they've been my role models ever since, and I've been doing it ever since like 2013, and you know, it's still an ongoing thing. And you know, I think about how I've been hearing, you know, some of our enrolled Minnesota Chippewa tribe members here in Minnesota, they've been protesting the pipeline since, you know, the 60s when they were first built. They were protesting them then, and we're still protesting them now. And just, I'm so inspired by them, you know, and to be able to be there and to be side by side and, you know, to help them, it's truly an honor, but it's also my inherited responsibility. So, I mean, to be aligned with that and to have such role models, I feel blessed.
Grace, can you tell people a little bit about White Earth? We have listeners in Madison and in Chicago, too, just to give them a little update on where you're from.
Okay, well, I'm enrolled in Mille Lacs. I used to be enrolled in White Earth, but my parents decided to change my enrollment to Mille Lacs, so I actually live and work here on the White Earth Reservation as project coordinator and many other things at Niji Radio and the White Earth Land Recovery Project. And I've been involved with the camps. I help with coordinating. I help with supplies. I just help any way that I can. Sometimes I cook. Sometimes I do dishes. You know, I just, wherever I can help, that's where I like to be. And so I'm up here on the White Earth Reservation, which is in Manoman. Well, I'm in Manoman County, and I'm not sure what else you want me to share.
Well, it's about four and a half hours north of the Twin Cities, just to give them a kind of idea. You're in the deep north, the occupied north of Minnesota, part of Minnesota.
Yeah, so yeah, we're about an hour west of Fargo, North Dakota, roughly an hour. So we're pretty far up here near the headwaters, and we have lots of wild rice up here with pristine waters that we'd love to protect, lots of groundwater. And I was also, Nancy asked me to participate in the press release earlier, so I was sitting there with Nancy Bolio, Mary Gagno, Gina Peltier, she was sitting with us, and then many other grandmothers and aunties and elders from different nations, including the Salish and the Lakota and Cherokee, they were also there in that press release. We were gathered there. So,
well, Grace, I want to say, Pini Gigi, thank you so much for stopping in. I really appreciate this last-minute reach-out that you were able to come on, and the great work you do up at Niji Radio, too. I just got to give you a quick shout-out on that, too. Pini Gigi, for coming on and talking with us.
Chimi Gwech, it's been an honor. Thank you for the invitation once again.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Wow, Wendy, that's just amazing.
It is amazing. That's great. You know, she's there, and she's on the radio up there too. Yeah. So that's pretty amazing. And protecting the water, protecting those the underground water, the water sheds. Once that's ruined, and once you know the oil leaks there, that there's no return, you know, back to that pristine water.
That's right. Hey,
and for the rice that's up there.
That's right. Exactly. Great point. I would like Ogama, if you have like 30 seconds, just to give a list again of what they need up there, if you could.
Yes, absolutely. So right now, the last report that I heard is they're looking for camping gear, drinking water. I I would assume firewood is probably on that list here pretty soon, although they are in a fire danger. But for sure, drinking water, food, and camping gear. I believe they're in the process right now of organizing to get caravans of people in the Twin Cities area or other cities would like to get supplies to that camp. But for right now, you can find the location to the camp posted on Native Roots Radio's Facebook page.
Wow. Yeah, thanks again for the quick thinking and giving that update. I really appreciate it, Ogama. Hey, Wendy, mm-hmm. we're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next we're going to talk about sacred animals, mm-hmm. and that's your jam, and I really appreciate you and what you do and talk about. So can you give us a little teaser here? We got 10 seconds.
Well, I'm going to give an update about the North Carolina dogfighting ring. Update on that. I'm going to be talking about some crows and ants. And also a rat that detects landmines.
Wow. That wasn't the former president, wasn't it? Hey, oh. We'll be right back in talking about aunties. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit Pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, oh. Protecting wolves oh. for future generations.
I'm a hot, tired wolf howler. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I feel bad for the wildlife out there. I mean, there's, you know, any puddles are dried up and they can't find water. Drought. And it's really bad. So if you're, you know, put it in your heart to just put a pan of water out for even, you know, the squirrels or raccoons or whoever might.
The
bunnies. I had a bunny drinking water out of the little.
Out of a straw?
Well.
What?
Well, I have one big bowl. It's like a big, giant dog bowl almost.
Okay.
And then I have a little pan that I put down so that the smaller animals can get to it easier.
When you talk big bowl, that brought me back to the 70s, so I just kind of lost it there for a second.
Yeah.
But no, you were talking about water.
Talking about a water bowl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well.
Sorry. Hey, yeah. You know, we haven't talked to animal issues here in a few days mm-hmm. because it's only Tuesday and we have a weekend. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, welcome back. And I just want to say we've been doing this segment since the beginning of the show and we've been on mm-hmm. literally 3.5 years in one form or another
mm-hmm.
on AM 950 and
Yeah.
We should have some sort of celebration because 3.5 years
absolutely.
Is a long time to mm-hmm. be. You know, in the beginning of the radio, Wendy, I was the king of ums. I think I said every other word, but yeah. now I just like look that way, and then you jump in and mm-hmm. and fill in the sentence for me. So I really appreciate that, and appreciate this segment that you're mm-hmm. about to do.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. I work on animal issues at the local and state level. My Native American name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. And I had a listener ask me about, you, Robert, you say your native name, and I say my native name.
And what it means. By one person, it
was,
right?
That name was given it to me by my Dega Curtis, and
which
that means uncle.
Yeah.
And it's Dega. It's pronounced like with a D, but it's spelt with a T.
Yep.
So it's Tega, but it's pronounced Dega.
All right.
And they asked why I didn't, say Curtis's Native American name. And I was like, well, I probably should, but I wasn't sure that I remembered it, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure whether I'm going to pronounce it right. But it means I walk on white clouds.
Right.
And his name was Mashka Hanajinga.
Wow, that sounds right.
And I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm going to have to call him and ask him and just practice a little bit about that. But, so that was Curtis's name. But I have an update today. Last week I talked about alleged,
yes.
even though we know that it is.
I don't have money to get sued.
An alleged Gaston County, which is in North Carolina, a dog fighting ring where the Humane Society International went in. And rescued these dogs. And the only reason that they were able to do that was because of community members in the area
yeah.
noticed that things weren't right. Like this guy had these dogs. They were out all day, all night. They had big, heavy chains around their necks. They were covered in feces and fleas the big, heavy chains on their neck to keep them strong. A lot of people
– digging into their neck.
Yeah, it's just terrible. They had, open bruises and wounds and blood on them. So people in the community complained about it enough that the dogs were rescued. So here is the update. Gaston County, North Carolina, 9 dogs that were rescued from an alleged dogfighting ring in Gaston County earlier this week are on their way to be rehabilitated. Jeanette Reaver is the program manager of the Global Anti-Dog Fighting for the Humane Society International, and she was part of the crew that helped rescue the animals from the Gaston County home earlier this week. Revere says the dogs left North Carolina at about 7:45 Friday morning, and they will be taken out of state to an undisclosed shelter that is run by the Humane Society specialists. She says that the dogs will undergo intense therapy and rehabilitation for the abuse that they endured. It is not just medical. It is therapy with mind and body, as if they have PTSD, she says, which they do. They must have, She says the animals have already been treated with antibiotics and painkillers for their injuries. Just removing them off, their collars, you can see their relief.
Wow.
It's almost as if they know they're being taken care of and being rescued.
We had that effect when we were rescuing, transporting dogs.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. We were transporting dogs, especially the older dogs that have been around a while. They were a little bit wise to know that they felt like they were in a safe place when we were.
They could feel the vibe.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Revere says the animals seized from the home are American Pit Bull Terriers. The dog breed is often used in dog fighting. So I'm glad that they're in the shelter now and that they're, being rehabilitated with specialists that, specialize in these type of dogs. So I'm really happy about this. And I read another article that I thought that was really unbelievable. It's just about how animals help us. Mm-hmm. And after years of detecting landmines, a heroic rat is hanging up his sniffer.
I saw that.
Yeah, so there's a rat.
How old is this rat?
The rat's 5 years old. Oh, the rat's 5 years old. His name is Magawa. Hmm. And he's been working for 5 years in Cambodia sniffing out dozens of landmines, and he is believed to have saved many lives. Now the animal is about to embark on a well-deserved retirement. Although he isn't still in good health, he has reached a retirement age and is clearly starting to slow down, the nonprofit APO said Thursday. It's his time. But yeah, apparently there's still a lot of landmines in Cambodia, and then these rats are trained to detect them. So the rats are very light, and they won't trip off the landmine, so it's safe for them to go. And what happens is the rat can smell, I guess, whatever it is that a landmine smells like. And it will scratch the surface of the ground, and then the people who can offset the mine and get the mine out of there will do that. But they apparently can find a lot more mines than a person with like a metal detector can do it. They can do it a lot faster.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I mean, I love that. You know, there's, you know, animals that help us. There's therapy dogs. There's, you know, dogs that can sniff cancer.
Right.
There's, you know, all these different things. My main concern is that the animals are treated humanely and cared for very well. And they're not just, you know, there to,
there are relatives.
You know, work. Yes,
we talk about
absolutely.
This. There are relatives. And So, wow, Peenigigi, Wendy.
Yeah, and your sister even had a dog.
Yes,
Who saved her life.
Yep.
So Robert's sister's dog kept pawing out her breast.
Yeah.
And she went to get it checked out because she was like, why does this dog keep sniffing at me and pawing at my breast?
Yep.
And she had breast cancer.
Yep, saved her life.
Saved her life. They caught it early, and if it wasn't for her dog, who knows what would happen now.
Just bothering her all the time.
Yes, all the time. And she it was so apparent she had to do something about it. So, our animals are connected to us and are part of our family.
Wow, another great show, Wendy. Peenigigi, I want to give a quick shout-out to Grace Roberts and Lewis Eagle Thunder for being on the show, the TikTok guy, just like saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors from Chief Plenty Coops. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Peenigigi to Wendy and Ogama for all her work, all their work, I should say. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3. Get vaccinated.
Please donate to the water protectors at Standing Rock or Standing Their Ground. Stop line 3. www.treatypeoplegathering.com.